it just seems like there's just a lot of them. It seems like there's a lot of things tonight, you know, as I was trying to pray and see which way the Lord would lead us. And I'm truly standing in faith tonight and trusting Him with the Scriptures He's laid on my heart. But I don't rightly know exactly where to start in them or how to start. But to be totally honest with you, the one I feel like reading in maybe the most is where the last thing He gave me before I come into church. He started dealing with us a little bit there in Jonah, and which was tying in with some of the other thoughts we had. But this would be the last place that God started dealing with us. But just want to read a couple things. We might talk. We may preach. Just don't know exactly what the Lord will give us here tonight. But if you get to reading into Jonah, I guess what where our thought process is tonight. I got to thinking about like right here in Jonah, I guess let me find it here. In the 17th verse there, just to get started with it, the Bible says there, and we know the story of Jonah coming up to this point where he got rebellious against God, and when God was sending him somewhere, so he wanted to go to another. But my heart's not really totally in the story of Jonah tonight, but just in one of the things that God did, or a few of the things God did, and help us to maybe realize, you know, as we go through life, just like we was talking about, we don't always understand everything. We got to realize that God in heaven, He knows all things. God in heaven has already understood the things that we don't even comprehend. And as Jonah was going against what God wanted him to do, and was out there on the ship and headed towards Tarshish, in that 17th verse it said, "Now the Lord had prepared a fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." And kind of where our heart is in this is that God had prepared for a man He knew was going to go astray. And I thought on that, and if you read on through the book of Jonah and you read through there, you'll find on over in it, you know, when Jonah finally he surrenders to God and he goes to Nineveh and he preaches the word of God, you find that he goes and it says that God prepared a gourd. And Jonah sat underneath that thing, and then you'll read where God prepared a worm. And then you'll read where God prepared an east wind to come through. And I guess where my heart is tonight is in the preparation of God. And the things that a lot of times He does foreknow and He does foresee and He does realize. And there's no need in our life of ever thinking that we're in some kind of a place where God is not prepared for. He's prepared for whatever's going to come our way. And I got to thinking about that, Matt, in this scripture. And like I say, it's just pray that the Lord help me bring all these thoughts into the right way and in the manner that God would have us to. But I thought about in the preparation of God and the things that He does. My heart this evening as I was trying to meditate, and I've had some of these thoughts, you know, even on up in the week about, you can turn if you want to over in the book of Isaiah, or excuse me, yeah, Isaiah. Turn over there for just a minute, maybe. And book of Isaiah in the 5th chapter, and you read down, and we look and we see the day and the hour that we live in, and we see the trouble and we see the turmoil and we see all the things that are going on in our nation and our country and just in our world. And you can read down through this here where God was speaking unto these people in that day. And He was saying, you know, he had planted a vineyard. And in that vineyard, how that the wild grapes come up. And it gets on down and he talks about on over and maybe about the 11th verse. I'm trying not to bounce around with you too much, but I want you to, there's kind of a lot on my mind, I guess you'd say. But in about that 11th verse, He says, "Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that that they may follow strong drink that continue until night, till wine inflame them, and the harp and the vial, the tabret, the pipe, and wine are in their feast, but they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. And you can back up on over, I'll find where it's at. Well, let me just read on down. But he says, oh, it's on down below, sorry. You read on down, it says, therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. And the men, and the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled, but the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness. Then shall the lambs feed after their manner, and the waste places of the fat ones shall strangers eat. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with the cords of vanity, and sin as it were with a cart rope. They that say, let him make speed and hasten his work, that we may see it, and let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come, that we may know it. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink. And you read on down through here, and he's talking to people of a wicked nature, and he's warning them. He's woe unto them. And that's letting them know there's trouble coming your way. If you look up that word woe, I want to read that. It means grief or indignation. And that word indignation just means the effects of anger. The Lord's a warning the people in that day, just like he warns the people in our day, woe unto you. There's some consequences going to come for your sin. And as he reads down, as I read down there through his word, it talked about how hell hath enlarged her borders. And in that, just let me read that one more time. It said, therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. And going back to the preparation of God, the heart of God was not for hell to have to enlarge herself. In other words, expand herself is what that means. It wasn't the will of God in all of his preparation that man should go to that place. But in knowing, in God's foreknowledge, he prepared something to keep man out of that place. There's a preparation that was made before the foundations of this world. And it was the sacrifice of his own son. So like I'm saying, there's nothing that catches God off guard. He is prepared for anything that comes his way. He knew the fall of man. He knew our nature, and he made preparation before time, Matt. Although hell, you can read over in the 25th chapter, and we may do it because we're talking about judgment here in this. God, if you'll read over in that 25th chapter of the book of Matthew, he said that hell was not prepared. He said hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. So there was a preparation even for Satan when he fell. God already knew. He had a preparation for that. And that's a place
place, it's happened to expand itself. It's happened to enlarge itself to receive man. That's why God says, woe with us. That's why God says, there's going to be some consequences when His anger comes down for our sin and our life.
And you better be very careful in your life.
Our lost people, just like Jay mentioned, we've got some that sits right in our midst that needs God.
There's a place that's prepared. It's not prepared for them. It's prepared for the devil and his angels. We need to warn them not to go to that place. It's prepared for
the suffering of the wicked. It's prepared for the damnation of the lost. But man is not intended to go to that place.
Man was intended by God said He is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. God prepared a way. What does prepared mean? It means made ready. God's made ready a way that man don't have to go to hell. If I can get around in this, I know I feel like I'm stumbling around with what I'm trying to get across in here. But I want you to understand some things, not to get weary in our well-doing. Those things are prepared. These things that God has made ready for our lost people. There's a choice in it for them. There's a choice.
When he
spoke to Israel over here, you know, he gave them a choice. Why else did he send his word? When God sent his word out, it was so that man could prepare his heart. It was so man could prepare himself for what was coming. God didn't just tell them, hey, I'm going to send you here. I'm going to punish you no matter what you do. He didn't. He sent his word and he gave them opportunity. Why did God send Jonah down to Nineveh?
He gave that evil people a time and a space to prepare themselves for what he was going to send their way.
These things that God has prepared for us. And I
got to thinking in this as I was sitting there and thinking over this season. How God knows our life. God knows the steps we'll take. God knows the places we'll be.
And He's prepared for whatever will come our way. There's no need. That's why we shouldn't worry, because God's got a preparation for whatever. And I got to thinking, and like I say, maybe I speak quicker than what I thought tonight with what our thoughts was on this. But I got to thinking what God truly did. When I got to thinking about what He prepared hell for, Mark,
the devil and his angels. When I got to thinking, well, He prepared that for the devil and his angels. What's prepared for man? The salvation of God through His Son. There's some things that truly is prepared for man. And hell's not one of them. Hell's something that's enlarging itself to be able to receive lost men and women. And an eternal torment. You can go over and read that 25th chapter of Matthew. I'm sure we all have. And when he says, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew ye.
Ever have an opportunity, and he tells them, as much as you've done it unto one of the least of these, you've done it unto me.
God has given them their opportunity and they've refused it. They've turned it away, so they get cast into a place that's prepared for the devil and his angels.
You get over and you get to reading about the things that God has prepared and God has set forward for man. And you get to thinking on them. I got to thinking, Matt, over in the book of Revelations about what John wrote down. And I got to thinking on that. Let me just turn over there. I got to thinking about it just a little bit, what God had done. And you get to reading about the devil and how God had prepared such a place for the devil, and how that it talks about in the 20th chapter there. It said, even him, it said, And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever. And you think about that. That place was prepared for him. And the Bible, it goes on to speak of the second death. And he talks about how the death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire. Them places right there, if our people truly get a hold of that duty, it's not prepared for us. That's a place that's prepared to torment the devil and his angels. Just imagine is going into that place as an intruder where God has enlarged it to receive you. Because it wasn't his will. He didn't create man with the will aimed to send him to hell. He created man and he had far greater things prepared for me and you. He's made ready far greater things that's prepared for us than hell. And we seem like that a lot of times our people are just willing to accept going to hell, and we're willing sometimes just to accept that that's where they're going. We need to get our eyes focused far greater on the things that God, the Bible said, eyes not seen, ears not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for them that love him. There's some things that we can't even imagine how good they are. And I got to thinking on that. I don't want to go to a place that wasn't prepared for me. And I don't want nobody else to go to that place. But before time, God prepared something. I'm going to read on down through that 20th. Said, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now listen, here's what I got to thinking. I'd like to say I may be about done. But I truly hope we grasp a hold of this before we leave here tonight. These things that's been prepared, Daniel. And it's up to us whether we get what's prepared for us or if we accept what's prepared for the devil and his angels. That's man's choice. God prepared a way of salvation, a way of deliverance from hell, that place that we weren't even created to go to. And when we sinned, when man sinned in the garden, and death was pronounced on man. Before that, man, death was not pronounced. But when man sinned, there was a sentence pronounced on us of death. And there was a place that we were never even intended to go. That through sin and through disobedience, our life was set in a course to go to that place that wasn't prepared for us. And God made a way that we didn't have to go. What love? He prepared a fish for a man that disobeyed him. He knew in his disobedience that one day that man was going to need to go into that fish's belly, that he was going to have to spend 3 days and down in that whale's belly. He was going to have to mull over some things. God prepared grace for that man. Within all rights he had right there when Jonah disobeyed to end his life. But yet God, in his grace, Trevor,
and His mercy prepared something to carry Jonah for just a little while and give him a chance to rethink his decision. God didn't prepare a shark, did He? God didn't prepare some barracuda to come and just gnaw and gnaw and gnaw and tire that man to bits before He gave him a chance, did He? No, He prepared something that gave grace, something that gave opportunity, something that gave a chance unto that man. And then He had the rest of His steps all the way to Nineveh prepared for Him. God's got a way prepared for each one of us. And we can change our way, but God's got it prepared to take care of us. There's a lot of people disagree with that, but I can go through the Word of God and I can show you some people that God set on the way and they got off the way and God killed them in the way. I've preached it before. That prophet that went up to prophesy up there at the altar of Jeroboam, God set him on the way. He had power on his life. He sat down and got out of the way of God and out of the will of God, and God killed him right in the way that he was going, and he didn't get to go no further in it. God gave grace to Balaam in the Word of God by he was riding upon that ass. God gave grace unto him when the ass laid down underneath him and wouldn't let him go no further. He could have kept going and lost his life in the way. I want us to understand. Don't just think that everything's laid out to protect you. You've got a choice to make in this. You can be under the protective hand of God, or you can be under the wrath of God. These people here, God planted a vineyard over there in the book of Isaiah. He was talking about His people. He was talking about Israel. He planted that vineyard and He put a hedge about it. And God took care of them, man. God protected them. But you want to know what? He said it brought forth wild grapes. God's people, He was saying, woe unto you. Woe unto you. You turned your back on me. You know what God did? He let the hedge down on them. He let their enemies come in and get a hold of them. Woe unto us. There's a good place prepared for you. You get out of the will of God, and I promise you this much. God's protecting hand will come off of you. And there's things that ain't intended for your life to deal with that will come on you. The way of a transgressor is hard. Why? Because it's out of the will of God. When you transgress, you go against God's will. So then what happens then? You know, the hedge is let down and this old world will devour you. That ain't what God wants for us, man. He didn't want hell for man. That's why He didn't prepare it for him. What did He want? What did He prepare? I thought in this you can read over there in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, he talks about when we get saved, he says, old things are passed away, and he said, I'll make all things new. You know what God wants for us? When we're trapped in a sinful life, Shady, we're trapped in this world right now. He wants to make all things new, man. He's prepared a place of refuge. He's prepared a way that, man, we preached it the other day. In the world you have tribulation. In me you have peace. God, in the midst of tribulation, prepared a way. He prepared a place of refuge. He prepared peace in the midst of tribulation. And you know, as I say it all the time, Stephen fell asleep under the midst of the stoning. Stephen looked up as the world was hating him and trying to kill him, and he saw Jesus standing on the right hand of the Father. Do you think that's just an accident? No, sir, no, ma'am.
God came down to this world. Jesus Christ himself died for the sins of man. Why? Because he knew one day there'd be a man named Stephen. Hey, we need somewhere to look in the midst of the tribulations, in the midst of the stonings. And he had somewhere he could look to. Hey, some things prepared for us when we go through our struggles, Barbara. There's a way that's prepared for us. And his name's Jesus. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels, preacher. What was prepared for us? God prepared a way through his Son that we didn't have to suffer through these things. He said, I'll make all things new. All things will pass away. All things are new. He ain't looking for this world no more, Trevor. He ain't looking for the drugs no more, buddy. You're looking to God, ain't you? You can find peace in that. The other things take you down. The other things will give you struggles. The other things will be hard in your life. I just want you to truly grab a hold of this tonight. Our people's going to a place that's not prepared for them, but they will go there if they deny God. They will go there. They will lift their eyes in a place of everlasting torment. I've said it and said it again. That place was prepared for the devil. And it said that he would for all eternity be tormented. You just imagine what you're going to go through in that place. But he don't want us there. When John was over here on Patmos, you read according to everything that John went through before they dumped him out over there. The tortures and the trials and everything that he faced before he was placed over here. And at this moment here, God, he's revealed unto him, here's what the end's going to be. Here's where man's going if he don't trust me. And there's this lake of fire, and there's a second death that man will have to suffer through. But listen here, in the midst of that, just imagine what John was seeing. He says on over in the 21st, he said, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw this holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Now I want you to understand something. You read on over in this. He said he'd make all things new with him. He said that old things have passed away over Corinthians. And he said, and I'll make all things new. I want you to understand something, that the tabernacle of God is with men today. That new Jerusalem, it's not something that's going to get rebuilt. It's not something that's going to get recreated over there in the natural Jerusalem. John looked up in the midst of everything, and he saw what God prepared for man. God, hey, there was a new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. God prepared a new Jerusalem for the people of God. He prepared a city that we can find refuge in, even in the midst of our storms. God prepared hell for the devil and his angels, and he prepared a city for his people. As it comes out of heaven,
John saw this. The tabernacle of God is with men. I'm glad there's something better prepared for us than Abel. It's up to us, though, Jay. Where we want to go. That's one thing about God. He puts it in your lap. Here's what I'm offering you. Here's what I've prepared for you. You can have what I've prepared for Satan. You know what the devil wants to do, Jay? He wants to lie to you. He wants to tell this world, hey man, there's something better than this prepared for you. I've had people look me in my eyeballs and say, I can't wait to get to hell. I've had people tell me they're going to get their miserable party.
I've had them curse right in my face and say, yeah, I'm going to hell and I'm proud of it. What a lie the devil's told them.
It ain't no party. It ain't no fun. You ain't going to be in control. And guess what? The devil ain't been there. It's a place of torment.
It's a place, the Bible said, where the worm hath not.
It's a place prepared for the devil and his angels. Ain't that the craziest thing? God prepared a city that John saw. He prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. New Jerusalem. A place that Nebuchadnezzar couldn't come in and conquer. A place where the Romans couldn't come in and conquer. A place where all the ones that never came in and overcame that place over. A place today that's still fighting. A place today that's still in turmoil. The Bible said there remaineth therefore rest for the people of God. This Jerusalem that I'm in, there ain't no more fighting going on there. I know who the Lord is. I know who's sitting on the throne. And I know who's ruling and reigning. And I know there'll never be one that'll break through the walls of this city. I know there'll never be one, hey, that'll conquer my king. I know there'll never be a famine inside the walls of Jerusalem. I know that there'll never be another hardship. I just read to you. All the tears will be wiped away. Place of joy have in my soul. God's dwelling with me.
When I go through the trials that, like Stephen did, I've got some of my worst to look.
And I can see Jesus standing on the right hand of the Father and realize he's still in control. There's a peace and there's a joy, ain't it? We got a friend that's closer than a brother. We got victory in the battle.
One that prepared something for us. It's prepared.
The preacher, these things got to happen. This, I'm going to tell you something. Over on the cross, what did he say?
It's finished. You know where he finished
the kingdom at? It's getting ready to come, Richard. They're building the gates and they're sitting there. Oh, no. Nehemiah, they worked hard on them walls over there to get them built back. You know what? Somebody come right back to it and pour them out again. I'm going to tell you something about 40 years ago.
I got into a city that these walls won't ever get breached.
He tells me in the Word of God, he said, the kingdom of God comes not with observation. It's within you. His Spirit dwells down on the inside of me. And it lets me know I'm His and He's mine. And that city's already prepared, Matt. That city's already there. I'm not waiting on it, Judy. Hey, I'm walking in her tonight.
me. I get to walk in one that's already prepared. I find peace right where I'm at. I don't have to look to the Jewish nation. I hope the best for them people. I'm not up here wishing bad will on nobody. I really ain't. But I'm telling you what, I'm a Jew. The Word of God says he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, but he is one that is one inwardly. Right down in here. I became part of the family of God. I became part of the lineage of Abraham. The seed that God promised Abraham would multiply as the sands of the sea. I'm part of it, Mark. And God knew from the beginning of this earth, he saw all of this. And he prepared for man's fall. He prepared for man's disobedience. He prepared a way. Son was going to have to give his life and make a way that me and you could get adopted in to his family. I'm thankful today for some preparations that was made for me and you. There wasn't one of them, but it's where you'll go. It will enlarge. We need to be preaching woe unto this world, Jay. You keep telling everybody he's over at the school. You keep telling them, man. You keep telling them, Trevor. Woe. Better listen to what God's got to say. I know I give my testimony all the time. But you know what made this so real in my life? The night I got saved. The night, Earlene, when I was in the valley of decision, and I was laying there, and I don't care what the world thinks, I don't care what nobody believes. I was there, man. I was a little old naked 12-year-old boy laying in the bed dying. Parents didn't know what was going on. Doctors couldn't figure it out, Shandy. I was running fevers. I was hallucinating. And I couldn't keep a thing on my stomach. I was dying. They'd get me up and wheeze that wee hours of the night, Matt. Rush me to the hospital. They'd poke me so much it didn't even affect me no more when they'd come at me trying to find a vein, to pull blood, to do research, to figure out what was going on in my life. I know what God done that night. I was dying. And my opportunity to receive what God prepared for me was right at hand. And that night, when the man of God got right down by my bed, and he said, "Son, do you know the Lord?" I hadn't been out of that bed on my own strength in over 2 weeks. Mom and Daddy had to get me up, bathe me, then try to feed me, and I couldn't keep it down. That night, Henry Rice looked me right in my eyes and he said, "Son, do you know the Lord?" I didn't even know what I was seeing that night, but I was just like old John. I saw a new Jerusalem coming down. My eyes got off of the things of this world and I started seeing I need something. And that night, if I'd have turned him away, there's not a doubt in my mind. If I'd have turned him away, I was already on the way to where I wasn't prepared. It wasn't prepared for me to be. I was already on my way there, Mark. I was dying. And that night, through faith, that's the only way to get a hold of it. Through faith. I couldn't naturally see it with my natural eyes, Matt. But through faith, I saw hope. I saw a place prepared. And I closed my eyes, and all I done,
I went, "Preacher, we need to get down on the floor and snot and slobber. I don't even know if I had enough moisture in my body to even get a tear out, to be honest with you." Jay, I took that.
I laid my head, Matt. That's all I did. I was laying there, and I was looking over at that man of God that was telling me about a better place and about a Jesus that loved me. And I laid my head over on my pillow. And that night, I felt the hand of God catch me. That night,
what'd you say, preacher? I just got to know.
I don't know if I said a thing. I just believed. I believed that Jesus loved me. I believed that He died for my sins. I believed that He rose again. And all in a moment, Daniel, everything that ever bothered me, you know what He done? And He took it all away. Everything had that little old 12-year-old boy scared to death. Jesus Christ Himself took it out of my life.
And I didn't die. I just began to live. Lord, He did. He wiped all my tears away. You know what He did? He took all my pain. He blessed my feet. His kingdom. Not my natural feet, my spiritual feet. He placed them in His kingdom. He didn't come early with natural observation. It sure didn't. So many people have to see it with their eyes before they believe it. You know what it's impossible to do? Please God without faith.
You know what He said? Eyes not seen.
Ears not heard. Neither hath it entered
into the heart of man what God has prepared for them that love Him.
You ain't never going to see it with your eyes. You ain't never going to touch it with your hands. You know what? We're too corrupt to get that. Get this to enjoy any of it. But that night, Bobby, I came up out of my bed.
I said, "Preachers, you finally got up on your own strength?"
No. No, God lifted me up that night.
I've said it many a time. I didn't have nothing on but my drawers.
I was laying there just waiting on me to die, Daniel. That's what was going on in my house. There was a family that was mourning because their son was dying. I was on my way out of here, Barbara,
and I know it just as sure as I'm standing here today.
And God come by. And that night I come up out of that bed, a little skinny, naked 12-year-old boy with a sprinkle of Samson on me. And it wasn't from me. It was the power of God. I grabbed him and right around the neck and I said, "He saved me." I grabbed my mama. I grabbed my daddy. I grabbed my sister. I grabbed my Uncle Larry. We was all shoved in that little old room. And I just loved on him. I've heard all this before. Well, you're going to hear it again because I love to tell it.
You may come back Sunday and hear it one more time.
I got up the next morning. Now, I know it was on Saturday. I got up the next morning on Sunday, Olivia, before anybody in the house.
They went to holler, "Are you sick? What's the matter?
You feeling okay?" I said, "I feel great." I said, "Ain't today Sunday?" My father told me evidently. That's the only way I figure I know this. They said, "Yeah." I said, "Ain't we going to church?" "I reckon we are." Got up and went to church that morning for the first time. I think about that brother that got saved not long ago, Dale, Brother Dale Roberts. And I can remember after he got saved up at the hospital. And I'm just telling this, I'll testify a little while. It's all right. Dale, they said, I wasn't around him when he was. They said he had one filthy smile, so he was a hard man to be around. I mean, he got saved up there in that hospital, and every time I'd go, me and Tommy Dale would go visit him, go on there, and all he wanted to do was talk about the Lord after he got saved. And he was dying. He had mouth cancer and just all kinds of things going on. They'd done the re-surgery, he'd hacked his face, he couldn't talk hardly. But all he ever wanted to do, he said, I'll come and I'll be to church. He said, I'm coming to church. He said, I'm going to make it down there to the church. I'll never forget, it was a Wednesday night, Earlene. I'm pretty sure old Dale come through that back door back there with his whole family. And I know exactly what he had on his face, that smile. Because that's the way I felt the first morning I got to walk into the church saved. He come through that door back there with a smile on his face. They was worried about all his treatments and him catching a germ. He come in and he didn't even think to take his hat off. And he big old smile. He walked in, man, and he come by every person in this church. And he shook every hand on his way around through here. And you know what I saw? I saw what God done in that man's life. He made a new creature out of him. Oh, Dale wasn't looking at the things of this world no more. He wasn't having to worry about going to a place that wasn't prepared for him. He got his eyes open unto what God prepared for him. And I see the joy in that man's life. And it's still to this day, Shemmy. I still remember walking into Midway Baptist Church the day after I got saved. The morning after I got saved. I got saved that night. And I still remember walking in there. Big smile on my face. Saw Papa sitting up in the front.
All I could do was smile.
Because I was part of some people. I was part of a people that was in a kingdom together. I was part of a people that was in a place that the old place was passed away. Then all things became new, man. You remember that? You remember when you come up? There wasn't nothing to look the same, was it? Remember when you got saved, Trevor? There wasn't nothing to look the same no more. You looked through a different eye.
He said, behold, I make all things new.
I'm glad for the newness of life.
I'm glad for what's prepared, Melissa.
I'm glad for the one that prepared it. God saved me 40 years ago. You know what a joy in my life? You know what, Danielle? I could have been screaming in hell for 40 years.
You know, I get a little bit crazy sometimes. I could have been in hell for 40 years and never going to come out of that place.
I could have been in a place where I was an intruder that wasn't prepared for me and the torments that I would have had to be enduring there up to this day and for all eternity. And God
brought me out. God saved my never dying soul.
And he gave me something prepared for me.
A new place.
And you know what? It'll always be new. It don't get old. It's eternal. We're used to handing the things that age. We're used to things that get old. We was looking at our house the other day. We've lived there for 6 years now, and I just look at how things deteriorate. We need to get the house fresh water. Deck needs stain. There's just all kinds of stuff. You know what we're used to? Things deteriorating. Just imagine where you get there where everything's always new.
Farther along, we'll know all about it. Farther along, we'll understand why.
Cheer up, my brother.
I'm thankful for what God's prepared. I'm thankful there's a way, Danielle.
Bible said there's a way that seemeth right unto a man. The end thereof is the ways of death. said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. The only way. The devil tries to paint other ways, but you know what that way leads to? It leads to a place that's prepared for him. He'll drag you there if you'll let him. You know what I want you to do? I want you to see the way. I want you to see this new Jerusalem. Preacher, I'd love to say something like that. You had to get a hold of it, Trevor. Faith. How do I get in, preacher? Faith. In Jesus Christ. That's how you get in the sheepfold. That's how you get in his protection. Try to come up any other way, you're as a thief and a robber. Jonah had a great fish, a gourd, a worm, and an east wind. Faith and get a hold of it. That's what the Lord laid on my heart. I thank the Lord tonight for helping us and delivering us.